Well, this morning we're going to talk about a different kind of exhibit at the Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn. Tove Brandt joins us this morning. She is the Albert Ravenholt Curator of Danish-American Culture. Good morning, Tove.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, thanks for being with us here this morning.
Glad to be here.
That title sounds pretty impressive, by the way. The whole museum's about Danish-American culture, so you're kind of in charge, right?
My responsibilities are still focused on the exhibits and public programs.
Gotcha.
But we were very pleased that last year, to the Albert Ravenholt Fund, agreed to create the first endowed position at the museum, and so it's an honor to be the person to fill that position, and it's a wonderful endorsement of the long-term stability of the museum.
I'm a little off topic here because this isn't what I really wanted to talk about. However, I guess I just couldn't let the time get away here. It's been, what, about 25 or so years since groundbreaking and about 30 or so years since the original concept came up. Isn't it amazing how far things have come in that time?
It really is. And 2013 marks the museum's 30th anniversary when
Yikes.
The museum was first incorporated. On paper, as you say, it took a few years for the groundbreaking and then even more years for the final building to open in 1994. But this is a major celebration year for us. And so a lot of the things we're doing this year are kind of looking back, celebrating the 30 years of the museum, how far we've come, where we're going.
We're all getting a little older, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's disappearing in a hurry. Well, Tove, really the reason we wanted to visit this morning is because you've got an exhibit that'll be opening up here this weekend that, I guess, to me seemed a little bit different. Typically, when I think of the Danish Immigrant Museum, I'm thinking some of the stories and the items that tell some of the stories of the immigrants that made the trip, and typically those tend to be older things. But you've got an exhibit opening this weekend that's called Danish Modern Design for Living, and it looks like it's really focusing on a lot of newer things.
That's right. We're focusing on some of the design of furniture and lighting and tablewares and things for the home that were being designed and made in Denmark, focusing really between the end of World War II through the 1960s. And this is when Danish designers were really at the front of the field of modern design, of new manufacture, new materials, but also maintaining a real balance between the form, the look of things, and the function, that these are pieces that really were made to be lived with, which is where part of the title comes from, Design for Living. These are beautiful chairs, they're beautiful lamps, and they're as equally at home in corporate lobbies as they are in a private living room. So, a lot of these pieces have become design icons. People may have heard of the egg chair, the ant chair. Some really wonderful names for these pieces that have been so successful that they're still in production even 50 or 60 years later. So we're looking at that particular point in time in the middle of the 20th century when Danish design was really innovative and it still is, but that middle of the 20th century period marked a new chapter in Danish design and looking towards the modern style.
Many folks may actually have a Danish influence in their home in the design and the type of furnishings they have and may not even realize it.
That's true. Anyone who's ever shopped at IKEA or looked at the IKEA catalog, that Scandinavian design look, and there was a similar design going on in Sweden and in Norway. So there was kind of a Scandinavian design style that became popular, certainly became, you know, fairly well known in the United States. And that's part of the story we tell in the exhibition too. Like, how did Americans become familiar with Danish design? What were some of the advertising campaigns? Where did some of these things show up? If anyone remembers the film 2001: Space Odyssey, you know, little details like the knives and forks that the people use in that futuristic movie were actually designed by a Danish designer for a hotel in Copenhagen. And there's a chair that showed up in the first James Bond film. There was a style to these and kind of an aura of good taste and quality that really, really made them quite desirable, and they've stood the test of time. All of the pieces in our exhibit were made during that period, a lot of them were borrowed from private homes where they're still being sat on daily, used, and they really do hold up.
It sounds like there's almost been kind of a flair for the futuristic among the design ideas.
Some of them, definitely, yes. Some of the designers were really looking to innovate and incorporate new materials of the time. For example, incorporating plastic into furniture design was pretty new for the 50s and 60s. And how could that new industrial material open ways to shape chairs in ways that could never be done before? Other designers were really building on a centuries-long tradition of high-quality craftsmanship in woodworking and cabinet making, and they collaborated with the Cabinet Makers Guild in Denmark, which had been literally founded in the 16th century and was still very active and powerful in making sure that furniture made out of wood, furniture made by hand, met a very high standard of quality. And so those cabinet makers collaborated with the designers to take what were very maybe traditional forms and traditional ideas, but streamline them, modernize them, give them lines that were more new, more artistic, more abstract, but yet still meet the needs of being a comfortable, serviceable chair. So we have a lot of examples that come out of that strain of that design era as well.
Tova, can I ask you, how do you go about setting up the presentation for an exhibit like this? It's not just hanging a picture on a wall or displaying some sort of memorabilia in an enclosed case. You don't want to run the risk of it looking like someone's living room when they walk in either, do you?
No, exactly. So yes, using chairs as museum pieces does pose some extra challenges because you can't just put it on the floor. People are going to think, that's for sitting in when they look at the rest of the exhibit instead of this is the exhibit. So it does take a lot more planning and preparation and in some ways some more furniture. You actually need exhibit furniture to display furniture, if that makes sense. So we actually have all the chairs displayed up on kind of low platforms that help kind of set them apart as museum objects. Stanchions that also help protect the pieces. There are a couple of chairs that the lenders have agreed that visitors can sit in. They can try them out. They can see for themselves if they think these are comfortable or not. So those are set apart on a part on the floor that makes it obvious, yes, you can sit on this. But these pieces we've borrowed from many, many different sources, and some from other museum collections, some from private individuals, some from businesses that have these. So we have to take responsibility to make sure that we return those pieces in as good a condition as we accept them and while they're in our custody. So we do have to make sure that even though these pieces may have come out of a living room, while they're here at the museum, we have to treat them as museum artifacts.
Do you have a favorite?
Oh, it seems to change every day. there are wonderful pieces, and some that are surprising. Some chairs that we were not familiar with at all until a member in Harlan called us up and said, I have a couple Danish chairs, and maybe you'd be interested in them for the exhibit. And we took a look and said, wow, that's a really great chair. Yes, we'd love to borrow that. Another favorite of mine is actually, it's a leather-covered chair, a form called the Swan Chair. As I said, a lot of these pieces have these wonderful descriptive names to them that have stuck. So this Swan Chair is covered with leather upholstery, original leather upholstery, and it's been the owner's desk chair for almost 50 years. He is right-handed, and as he sits at his desk, he was a professor and writing out lecture notes, things like that. His left hand would rest on the left armrest of the chair, and where his hand rests, you can see that the leather is more worn. And so that chair becomes a part of his story, and his story among Danish immigration. His wife is a Danish immigrant. He was an American. They married in Copenhagen. And at the time they married, they bought this furniture to furnish their first home together in America. And so this really is, even though it's a different type of exhibition for our museum, it is still part of the Danish immigrant story, and part of the story of the Danish-American culture and relations between Denmark and the United States. So even though it's a new topic for us to address, and this is a larger exhibition than we have done recently, it definitely fits within our mission to really celebrate the Danish roots and American dreams.
Everyone and everything has a story.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Great. Well, they'll have plenty of time to see that story, too. It looks like that exhibit will be available for quite a few months.
That's right. It opens this Saturday and will stay open into January of next year. And then we'll be traveling the exhibit to other museums around the United States.
Very good. So folks are interested and want to stop by. I know they can pay one-day fees. They can become friends of the museum, members as well, and get certain benefits also. They have a lot of different ways that they can stop by.
There are, and I also want to mention that on Saturday, April 20th, we're offering free admission for our open house day. So anyone can stop by and get a taste of the exhibit. It's our fourth annual open house in the museum store, and this is a wonderful time to really see the connection between the museum store and our exhibit. A lot of the Danish designers and things that are still coming out of Denmark are for sale in the shop. So if you fall in love with Danish modern design in the exhibit, be sure to visit the shop. And as I said, on April 20th, we're having a free admission day, open house day. Refreshments will be available, and we'll be giving a tour of the exhibit at 2 o'clock. So for anyone who's curious about seeing this new show, that would be a great day to stop by.
Tove Brandt is the Albert Ravenholt Curator of Danish-American Culture at the Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn. Sounds like a great opportunity there. Good luck with the exhibit, and I hope you have a lot of fun with it.
Thanks a lot, Jim.